invite you to think with me a little this evening about building character. And some of these things that I've prepared are not new to you. Some of you heard some of it before, some of you haven't. And whether young or old, we're going to go through some of this. We may not go through all this outline that we have printed in the bulletin, but I'd like to begin a series tonight. We're going to look at some specific elements of building our character. But first, we need to know what character is. Talk about that a little bit. Refresh our minds some, maybe, about character. And remember that the gospel calls us to a walk that is worthy of the gospel. We're studying in Ephesians 4th chapter this morning and verse 1. And to remember that our character is to rise above the world's concept. You know, Jesus, for instance, says, you heard this, said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. In fact, he says, by doing that, we show ourselves to be sons of our Father who is in heaven. Let's read that together. Matthew 5, he says, you've heard it said, in verse 43, beginning, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. There's our commandment from our Lord to love our enemies, but the example that God sets before us, our Heavenly Father, shows that sort of a love, even for those who despise Him, who dishonor Him. God calls upon us to rise above the world's notion of loving your friends and hating your enemies, to loving our enemies. Again, note, for instance, we're taught to be willing to even die for a brother. We're to give our lives to one another. In 1 John 3 and in verse 16, this says, by this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, it occurs to me that it may not be a matter of dying for a brother, but of giving my life for the benefit of the brother, helping the brother. Because he goes on to say, whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts his heart up from him, how does the love of God abide in him? You see, here the idea of laying down our life translates into loving in deed and truth, verse 18, of helping one another in time of need, rather than spurning and shunning and turning away from the need of a brother or sister in Christ. Character of faith. Again, are we willing to die for Jesus? You see, Jesus died for us when we were ungodly. And so in Revelation 2 and 10, it says, be faithful unto death, even to the point of death, he says. In fact, he says, all that verse says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Now, some of them would face death. He says, but do not fear death. What character of faith is required on the part of someone not to fear death? Indeed, the devil's about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Their character of faith would be severely tested. Yet he says, don't be afraid. You be trustworthy, even to the point of death, and I'll give you a crown of life everlasting. So, and many other like verses, and we're going to come to one in a minute and spend a little time on. We are called upon to elevate ourselves, to elevate who we are, the kind of people we are, far above what the world is, because Jesus is our model. Jesus is the example for our lives. Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 that Jesus is an example for us when He suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth. So Jesus, in suffering for what was right, suffering in spite of being mistreated, ill-treated, and put to death, committing no sin, no guile was in him. Yet he accepted the suffering for the will of God and for the benefit of our salvation. He says, Jesus is our example, man. He says, you do right. When you do right and bear it patiently, suffer wrongfully and bear it patiently, that's commendable before God. Verse 20. Jesus is the example. Chapter 3 and verse 16, again in 1 Peter, he says, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. He said that you keep a good conscience, you have good conduct, and even if you're reviled, reproached, your conscience remains clear, your faith remains strong, and you have elevated yourself above the world. That's what Jesus has called us to. Here's a favorite passage about that. It's good to remember, good to memorize. Luke 6:40. It's our motto as disciples. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who's perfectly trained will be like his teacher. I want to be like Jesus. You want to be like Jesus, so you train yourself. You see, that elevates you from the people around you in the world. They don't want to be like Jesus. They haven't learned who Jesus is. Now you teach them. You can teach them who Jesus is, because they need to know who Jesus is. Their character needs to be elevated. They need salvation from sin. They need conversion. But as a Christian, your character must necessarily rise above those people in the world who do not know God, who are not in fellowship with the Son, who are not Christians. Necessarily, yours rises above it because you're a disciple. You're someone who learns and follows your teacher, Jesus. Now, character, as we've talked about various times, is the strength that defines who you are. Character is that is what you are when nobody's watching. It's the character of faith that's built upon trusting God above all else, of relying upon His will, His Word, as we talked about this morning, and letting God shape and mold you. Letting God be the potter, and you being the clay, and you shaping and being shaped and molded by the hand of God, by the Word and will of God in your life. Joseph and Daniel are two examples that I think about often about the character of faith. Let's refresh our minds just a minute. Joseph is a young man of faith. He was about the age of many of our young people here tonight. And his brothers hated him. He was the favorite of his father, and that was wrong of the parents. But he gave him a coat of many colors, and the brothers became jealous, and they hated him, and they wanted to kill him. Some of them wanted to kill him. Finally, they sold him into slavery, and he's finds himself in Egypt as a servant, as a slave of Potiphar. Genesis 37 relates that, and then Genesis 9 takes up the account again for us. And this young man, separated from his father, whom they lied to and said, "Your son's dead. He'd been killed by beasts." So nobody's coming to find him. His father's not coming to find him. He's all alone. Strange land, strange language, strange gods. And he's given this task of being a slave. But he puts his hand to the work. He trusts God. He has faith in God. It's obvious. The Lord was with Joseph, the verse says in chapter 39 and verse 2. And he was a successful man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and the master saw that God favored him, and how Joseph served his master faithfully. And you remember the story. Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, tried to draw him into sin, and he refused. He said, "I cannot do this sin, this great sin against my God." this great wickedness. My master, I would sin against my master, be an offense against him and all that he has entrusted me with. And ultimately, of course, it would be against God. Now, this young man had been taught, and he had been trained, and he had lived faith, a life of faith, a character of faith, so that even in those extreme conditions, he would not yield his faith for his own benefit, for his own physical pleasure, or his own advancement. He would not do it. And he paid a price. Potiphar's wife lied about him. And he found himself in prison. Removed from the place of honor and recognition in Potiphar's house and responsibility there. Yet he lived his faith. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about building the character of faith. Is having such a trust in God and the things of God and the will of God that we shape and mold our decisions and our conduct after God, whatever environment we find ourselves in. Now, whether we're at work or we're out with our friends, whether we're at home or at school, whether we're among brethren, we shape and mold who we are based upon our trust, our faith in Almighty God. Daniel and his friends, in Daniel the first chapter, gives us another powerful illustration of this point. As you remember, Nebuchadnezzar, in waves, really, in a series of attacks and sieges, and finally destroys Jerusalem. But here is the first one in about 605 B.C., and he takes some of the best and brightest of Judah, of Jerusalem, back to Babylon. And among them are Daniel and his companions. And their Hebrew names are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel was given the name Belteshazzar. And Daniel and his companions had a purpose of heart, and particularly it says of David in Daniel 1:8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies. The king had a great spread of food and provisions, and they were in a 3-year training program, it says. 3 years of instruction and training, verse 5, to serve before the king. And, you know, it's like getting an appointment. Get an appointment to West Point, you know, but you get there and you can't eat any of the food that they set out before you. You would, because if you did, you'd defile yourself, or you can't go through part of the training, because if you did, it would be a sin against God. I know it's not a perfect parallel, but the first one that came to mind. Point is, you see, they're given a great opportunity of advancement in the kingdom. But there was something more important. You know, we're going to face in our lives times and conditions, situations where we can have an advancement. We can have an advantage to ourselves. The question we have to ask is, at what price? At what cost? If it costs me my soul, it's too much. If it costs me my purity, my faith, it's too much. I'm not willing to pay that price. If it causes me to sin, then I'm not going to choose sin, because that costs me too much. Daniel and his companions, they're away from their home, they're away from everything that's familiar to them. And even their names have been changed by this king. And yet they would not defile themselves. So great was their faith. So great was the character of their faith. And God, of course, blessed them in that, as the account goes on to tell us, and they did advance, but it was not because of the king, it was because of God who was with them, and because of the faith that they had in their God. And it's those kind of examples throughout the Bible that instruct and teach us about developing our own character. And as we go through and study various aspects of the character God wants us to have and to be, which defines us. We're going to always come back to the basic idea of our faith, the faith that we put in Almighty God. And so let's look at, and really contrast with me for just a minute, if you would, the Bible's description of the character of faith and a worldly person's description of character. And as we said earlier, you know, our character has to rise above the world. And I may have related this to you before. I think I probably have, but I'll do it again. Bear with me for just a moment, please. I remember growing up that on the wall, that there's a poem on the wall, and I read it often. It was by Rudyard Kipling. Now, you may or may not know who he is. The Jungle Book. He wrote that. Yeah, he was an English author, short stories and poems in the late 19th and early 20th century. He won a Nobel Prize for literature, and he grew up in India, in what is now Mumbai, Bombay, and a lot of his writing was about that. But he wrote this poem, "If," and I remember being on the wall of our home, right near our bedrooms, and it made an impression upon me early and often. And as I look back and look at it now and read it now, I say, "Well, yeah, that's." You know, there's some good sentiments there, and it illustrates the worldly mind. And when I say worldly, I don't necessarily mean sinful, but somebody of the world and about the things of mankind. There's some attributes here that are worth considering. But I contrast that then to the Word of God, and we get a whole new and elevated picture of what faith or what character ought to be. Listen to this with me for just a moment. Rudyard Kipling wrote "If," and he said, "If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken, and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose, and start again at your beginnings, and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve you long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son." Now, that impressed me as I was young, and there are some worthy attributes within that poem, but it pales. It pales in comparison to what Solomon wrote to his son. Proverbs 3. Here, the character that people of faith are to develop. Listen carefully. My son, do not forget my law, and let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your steps or your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions, and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights. Would you look that over with me for just a minute? Because here, embedded within these 12 verses, are, I believe, the instructions to us about developing the character for our life. A character of faith that will not merely make you a man or a woman, but a child of God. One who trusts in Him rather than trusting in yourself. And that's the major contrast between Kipling's "If" and God's Word about character, is trusting in yourself and your ability, or trusting in Almighty God and letting Him shape who you are from the inside out, from the heart to the character, to the practice. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Character, you know, proceeds from the heart. That's who we are. Now, whatever we, you know, what we say, what we do, how we live, it identifies who we are. Character issues from the heart. And this passage talks about the heart, and it talks about what effect that will have upon us, or the result of that character. Look at it with me for just a moment. He says in verses 1 and 2, be obedient to his son. He says, son, let your heart keep my commandments. It's important for the child to hear the commands of the father. Because here is a father who is wanting nothing but the very best for his son. He wants that son to grow and to mature, to be vibrant, to have blessing, to have opportunities, to walk with God, to be blessed now and eternally. Obedience issues from the heart. You see that? We can't go through motions and please our Heavenly Father. We must listen to our Heavenly Father and His Word. We talked about that some length this morning. Now, he says, here's the result of it. Verses 1 and 2. He says, if you'll let your heart keep my commands, you'll live long and prosper. He said, length of days and long life and peace they'll add to you. Does that mean you'll never have conflict? Does that mean no one will ever die young? No, that's not his point. But his point is one of blessing in the presence. There'll be present blessings, as well as, of course, we learn of other places the eternal blessings. But he says there's life and peace. You situate yourself in life to have a good life if you will be obedient to your parents, if you'll be obedient to your Heavenly Father. This is the demonstration of, this is the development of character, the character of faith. Now look next. He says in verses 3 and 4, let not mercy, or the Old American Standard translates that kindness. Let not kindness and truth forsake you. In other words, be kind to others. Show mercy to others. Be truthful, and let truth identify who you are. Don't forsake it. Bind them around your neck. Wear them on the tablet of your heart. You put kindness in your heart. You show mercy to others. You let truth guide you. What's going to be the result of that kind of a character? He says you'll find favor. You'll have a good reputation. They'll be high esteem in the sight of God and men. Now, while it doesn't define who we are on the basis of what men think of us, because after all, they thought Jesus was a blasphemer and an insurrectionist and then murdered him. So that doesn't define who you are. But the fact of the matter is, if you're going to maintain a good influence upon others, it's going to require in you the character of faith, kindness and truth, favor and esteem. It goes on. Have faith in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't forget God. If you want to have character and be a person of character, then you have to trust God. You have to believe in Him, put your faith in Him in the situations that you're going to face, son. See, he's talking, son, your life, you're going to need faith. You're going to have to trust God at times. And trust Him with all your heart. You see, the world tells you to lean on your own understanding. It does. You know? I mean, Kipling's poem is a recital of trusting in yourself. But God says, you trust in the Lord. Solomon says, you trust in the Lord, son. Now, the effect of that direction in your life, verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. A lot of people think, you know, and wonder and worry, what am I going to do in life? What am I going to be in life? I don't have any direction in life. What should I, you know, I'm just so confused in life. Here's the instruction. Develop a character of faith. Put your trust in God. And that will give you direction. That will give you a basis to work upon and to work from as you make your way in this life. Because, you see, as you make your way in this life, you're just living for eternity. You're just living for your homes in heaven. Faith in God. Humble reverence, he says, is part of our character. Verses 7 and 8, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Here's what should issue from our heart. Humility that honors God, that remembers to give God the first place in our lives. What's that going to result in? Health and strength. In other words, he said, you're going to have vitality. You're going to have the blessings that will enable you to accomplish the tasks set before you in life. You know, we can ignore God. And by ignoring God, we bring, you know, a lot of people bring a lot more troubles to their lives. It doesn't say that if we don't ignore God, we won't have any troubles. We're not saying, well, every Christian has no trouble. That's not his point. His point is, son, don't trust in yourself. Don't be arrogant. Don't be boastful. Don't be conceited. Wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. There's someone wiser than you, son. It's God. There's someone who knows more about it than you do, child. God. So, turn away from evil. And God will bless you with strength, the strength of faith. The character of faith, of course, honors God. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your possession. With your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase. Take what you have, son, and honor God with it. Don't give Him the leftovers. Give Him everything. Understand the first fruit. You know, first fruits was not just the beginning, but it was the best. The best that you have, you give to God. See, you think of Him first and you give Him the best, and you acknowledge by the first fruit that it's all from Him. What's going to result from that? You'll have plenty. Mike read from 2 Corinthians 9 this morning. A passage where not only are we taught to give cheerfully, but it says it's really a statement about the faith that we have in God. He's able to grant us the ability to even increase in our giving. See? And that's his point to his son. Now, Solomon is the wealthiest man in the world at the time. Great riches. He said, use your possessions to honor God. Doesn't matter if you have a little or a lot. Honor God with what you have.
because it's not about you, it's about Him.
Also He says, son, don't despise the Lord's discipline. When the Lord corrects you, it's because He loves you. Accept His correction. That's the character of faith. That says that you believe in Him and you trust Him because you're willing to accept the correction that He gives you. You know, really, that's what it says about our parents, too. When we're willing to accept the correction that we receive from our parents, it says that we understand our parents know more than we do and want to help us. That they're trying to direct and instruct us for our good. Because they love us. Look, that's what He said. Whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as the Father, the Son, in whom He delights. See, the benefit, the result of a character that accepts God's discipline is we live in God's love. When we as children accept the discipline our parents give us, we live in their love. And we're the better for it. As they're disciplining us in truth and in righteousness. So don't despise it. You see, it takes the character of faith to not despise it, but rather to be thankful for it, thank our parents for it, and also, of course, thank God when He disciplines us. We'll stop there tonight. There's a lot more to say about character, and we will be in the weeks to come. See, fundamentally, when we talk about building the character of faith, we're talking about a decision to be converted in heart, so that from our heart will issue the kind of life that will make us and show us to be children of God, to be a man of God, to be a woman of God. You see, not just a man of this world or a woman of this world, as Kipling would write, but to be one who, in fearing God and reverencing Him and putting faith in Him, will receive blessings from Him now and eternally. That's the kind of character we want to possess. That's the kind of character we want to build. That's the kind of character we want to take with us as we live our lives. Because that will bring us to the gates of eternity. It will bring us to the gates of the eternal city. And God will welcome us in as His children who have trusted Him and obeyed His will in our lives. You can start that tonight. You can begin now in a trust for God that will repent of your sins, that will confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. In that conversion of your heart, put sin to death and develop the new heart that is conformed to the image of Christ. We urge that of you as God's people. See, that's our objective, is to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's what our character is about and to be about. To conform ourselves not to the world's standards, not to the world's definitions, but to Jesus's, to truth and righteousness. And if we've sinned, if we've fallen short of that, and we brought shame upon Christ by the choices we have made, then let's repent of that. Let's change our hearts. Let's renew our spirit in Christ and the forgiveness He gives us through His blood. If we'll repent and pray, if we'll turn away in repentance from our sin, He will forgive us. We want to encourage you toward that end. Father, stand. We stand.